Welcome to the Finance Show here on Tip TV, where we're joined by Callum Pickering, who's a senior UK economist at Berenberg. How are you today, Callum?
Good morning, thank you, I'm fine.
Well, I hope you, hopefully you're in better form than the Great British Pound, which seems to have gapped down overnight. Is the market doing the right thing?
Certainly, the uncertainty about the potential long-term economic impact of Brexit is huge. I'd say one thing first. I don't think the uncertainty that's associated with Theresa May is warranted. I think Theresa May has been absolutely clear about what she intends for Brexit, that of course she would like to maximise the UK's access to the EU single market. It's the largest in the world, but she will prioritise the domestic political gains such as border control, getting the jurisdiction of the courts back to the UK, more sovereignty as it's commonly referred to, back to the UK. So what we need to figure out is what the EU's response to that will be. So my impression is that the UK will probably impose some modest restrictions on migration from the EU, maybe limiting the number of low-skilled workers or issuing some sort of work permit. In response, the EU will say, no, that is a direct violation of the four freedoms of the single market, so we will have to block some access somewhere. And the UK will probably find itself having a difficult time getting into the services market at the lower tariff rates. So in my base case, I expect the UK to lose its financial services passport, get a decent level of access to the good side of the market, and altogether the lower growth in trade, the lower growth in migration, and in turn the lower growth in investment that will come as a result of the first two should reduce the UK's trend rate of growth from around 2.2% to 1.8%. And it's that downside risk to long-term growth that markets are currently pricing in sterling.
Isn't it the irony that the more they mark sterling down in order to factor in that lower growth, the stronger that makes the economy in terms of the attractiveness, let's say, to would-be bidders of UK companies or would-be investors?
I mean, certainly if you take a look at the FTSE 100, the bulk of earnings is foreign. So in sterling terms, those companies now look good, which is why the FTSE has done so well during this period of weaker sterling. There's also the benefits to the trade balance. The UK has suffered as a result of weak global demand paired with strong sterling for some 5 to 6 years now. The tables on that have now turned. The weaker sterling coupled with a cyclical upturn in global demand should do well for the UK's trade balance. Though remember, it does hurt some exporters a little bit more than others. Remember, the UK imports a lot of its inputs and imports commodities. So say you're a UK manufacturer that whose inputs are priced in dollars and then you export to the European markets, namely the Eurozone, that sterling has devalued by more against the dollar than it has the euro, really squeezes your margins. But it will help rebalance the economy back towards more industry, back towards more exports than the consumption-driven growth that we've seen over the last few years.
I mean, isn't there an argument for saying that actually, if you look at the last 20 years or more, the history of Britain and the EU, that it caused the UK to have a painfully overvalued currency? And if that period ends, we could actually see benefits that we might not have expected.
This is an absolutely critical point you make. The thing that I've been trying to point out is that you have to take a look at Brexit as an isolated impact first, and then consider all the other things that may happen. So when I refer to my long-term base case for Brexit and I say, okay, I reduce my potential rate of trend growth from 2.2 to 1.8%, that is just the isolated impact of the UK exiting the EU, notwithstanding any non-EU trade deals that the UK manages to set up, notwithstanding any domestic economic policy choices that the government makes over the next few years to help rebalance the economy. So what I would say is, if the UK solves its long-term secular decline in productivity, the thing that has made so many headlines over the last decade, if the UK could solve that problem, then that would generate a significant upside going forward to offset the negative effect of Brexit. So nothing is quite set in stone. The thing that concerns me about this government and Theresa May is that she seems to be shifting more to the centre, maybe even left, you could argue, on economic policy. I've not been encouraged by the decision to raise minimum wages. I won't be more encouraged by any decisions to try to deal with inequality through income redistribution. What the UK needs is more energy infrastructure, more capital spending, more spending on education, the things that enhance long-term productivity growth. If the UK does that, it can easily offset the costs of Brexit.
It's rather ironic that the Conservative Party is having to absorb Labour policies, given that Labour is effectively in disarray at the moment. But I wanted to cover a point which hasn't been highlighted in the wake of the latest interview between Michael Gove and Donald Trump, that the UK could be in the beginning, right at the front of the queue on a trade deal. Legally, we're not allowed to make any deals with anyone else, any new deals, until we've extracted ourselves from the EU. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's right. But let's not forget the Theresa May didn't set up the Trade Department currently headed by Liam Fox for no reason at all. You can do some groundwork and there'll be lots of unofficial talks going on. Remember, until the UK leaves the EU, you're right, the UK cannot officially negotiate any trade deals. But the thing I would stress is the transitional deal from the UK being in the EU to the UK being outside of the EU is critical whenever we think about Brexit. So after Theresa May triggers Article 50, probably in March, I expect the UK to have left the EU within 2 years, then enter in a trade deal maybe that takes 3 or 5 years to gradually transition outside the EU. It is absolutely critical that the UK agrees during that transitional period to be able to negotiate trade deals independent of the EU. That way, the UK can not only enter its non-EU arrangements smoothly, but it can also set up some buffers with non-EU countries. Can it set up trade deals with the likes of the US, with the likes of Canada, China, India? Those are the big countries that the UK needs to be then focusing on. And if it's able to do that during the transitional deal, then that's a good thing.
Callum Pickering, senior UK economist at Berenberg, thank you very much for speaking to us today.
Thank you very much indeed.